What God promised to Abraham was the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in Him that all nations on earth are blessed. So this shows how God's covenant with Abraham has something to do with us. Again, the question I started with was, what did this all mean to the Galatians, and what does it all mean to us? Well, the connection to us is made right here. As Paul explained earlier in the chapter, we do not have to be biologically related to Abraham in order to be or to claim his inheritance. What he does say is that all we need is faith in Jesus Christ. The true sons of Abraham are not identified biologically, they are identified Christologically. So the covenant promise was really for Christ, and when we belong to Christ, here's the connection, the promise belongs to who? Us. Once we understand that God's promise to Abraham is a promise to Christ, the fact that the word offspring is a collective noun makes perfect sense to us. A collective noun can refer either to an individual person or to a group of individuals or both, and we see that used in scripture that way. So it is with the offspring of Abraham. The promise refers first of all to a single individual, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it also refers to a collection of individuals, namely who? All of us who belong to Christ. All of us who are in Christ. The party to the covenant is Christ, and all who are in Him. Don't miss that. God gave the promise to Abraham. The promise was Christ, and since we are in Christ, that promise is for us. And that's why we're grateful that not only was the covenant promise made, but it's a covenant promise that is permanent and irrevocable. In the words of one scholar, he says, the promises made to Abraham are first made to Christ, and then in Christ to all that believe in Him, close quote. So here we are reminded again of the doctrine of union with Christ. And we can't miss that. We can't miss what it is that we have because of our union with Christ, because of the fact that we are in Christ once we are saved by grace through faith. So here we are reminded again of the doctrine of union with Christ, which is so central to Galatians and to Paul's theology in general. The Christian is in Christ. We participate in Him. By faith, we are incorporated into Him. We have covenant solidarity with Him. We are so united to Christ that what is His becomes ours. Again, that scholar says, I quote, the right way to obtain any blessing of God is first to receive the promise. And in the promise, Christ, and Christ being ours, in Him and from Him, we shall receive all things necessary. Close up. It's almost as if there is only really one party in the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is exactly what the Galatians, and this is exactly what the church today is losing. They're forgetting that by trusting, in the case of the Galatians, that by trusting the works of the law, they were dividing the church along racial lines. On one side, you had the Jews, and on the other side, you had the Gentiles. They were not united in Christ if you adopted the theology of the Judaizers. And it's the same in the modern church today. Paul used the promise of the offspring, therefore, to remind them and to remind us that God's eternal plan is for one family in one Christ. There's no division. There's no separation. By the time he gets to the end of chapter 3, this will be the climax of his argument. Look at verse 26 of chapter 3. For in Christ Jesus you are what? All sons of God through faith. And then if you go to verse 29, he says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to what? Promise. That's the link to us. We are heirs according to promise.